On behalf of the family of Dick Matthey, I welcome you, part of the Boston Church. We are thankful that you could join this celebration of life. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today with heavy hearts. Saddened again, way too recent. We ask that you provide us comfort as we asked before. We ask for some peace and some understanding. Most of all, we just ask for your comfort and your presence, Lord, as we, as family and friends, adjust to a different and new normal. Father, bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray.
For thine is the kingdom.
Richard T. Dick Massey, age 78 of Hamilton, passed away on Wednesday, December 27th, 2017. He was born on August 22nd, 1939, to Guy and Marie Massey. Richard graduated from Ross High School. He married Anita L. Chickie Massey in Indiana in 1957. She passed away on August 5th, 2013. Richard worked as a ceramic component engineer for many years before retiring. He was a member of Ross Community United Methodist Church. In his spare time, Richard liked to refinish furniture, play golf, go fishing, and play cards. He enjoyed cooking, baking, and traveling. Richard loved spending time with his family and his cats. He is survived by his children, Mark and Susan Massey, Michael Koss Massey Naska, his grandchildren, Amber, Brian, Trevor, and Tessa, his great-granddaughter, Kylie, and his sister, Heidi Rasmussen. Richard was preceded in death by his daughter, Lori Ann Massey, his wife, his siblings, Raymond and Leanne, and his parents. The obituary says that a celebration of life and luncheon will follow at the church. This is a celebration of Dick's life. The family asks that memorial contributions be sent to the church. May God bless Dick. John wrote in chapter 14, he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going." "No, we don't, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can know the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would have known who the Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." And Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father, yes, ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." Take your part. Oftentimes at a service like this, there are people that have stories, times that they remember those that have passed. And so we want to give anyone an opportunity to share, if you would like, a story about Dick or something that comes to your mind that would maybe be encouragement to others, but yet it could be humorous. In a time like this, we're saddened, but as Brandon just sang, and it's the comfort that we have to know that Jesus is that bridge over troubled water. So would anyone like to share story, memory?
I'd just like to let the family know that on our church Facebook page and so many other places, everyone commented on, first of all, how much Dick will be missed and how much his desserts are going to be missed. He brought something in every week. Even when Lori was in the hospital, he brought in cupcakes. And then he would tell you about how he made the pineapple upside down cake, or, you know, his, I'm trying to think of what it is, because I don't like it, the carrot cake, yeah, and I always told him, I don't like carrot cake, but yeah, everybody said it was really good. But yeah, he'd tell
it
us
was.
About, yeah, he would tell us about his fishing trips and different things he went on, and he is going to be missed in so many ways. And it's not just his baking skills. Everybody in the church loves him so much. The Lord is
I
Well, I hope I can do this.
because this is just not cool. The lost Dick. But if anybody has his recipes, he made some great stuff, and one day I mentioned that Larry and I like to cook in cast iron at the campground. And he said, you know, I think I might have some cast iron out in the shed. And I'll be darned if he didn't come in next Sunday. And he brought me a cast iron skillet. And I'm going to try to make a pineapple upside down cake in it. Hopefully it'll be as good as his, but I doubt it. And he made some great peanut brittle, too. And it was really funny. One of the things I wanted to share with the family is I would always ask Dick, you know, as I was eating it, I'm like, man, this is really good. And I said, have you tried it? And he said, no. I said, why not? Well, I don't want to take any from anybody. And I said, well, you goofball. I said, you got to try your own stuff first, make sure it's good. But I guess he always knew that it was really good. So he will be missed.
Several people came in today and said, we're going to miss it.
Well, this is not planned, but he was one of the residents of the back row. And we were kind of the wild kids of the church. But one thing that he did so many times is I work with the mission groups, and he would quietly hand me money. And he would say, please use this, because I know that you'll make good use of it. But and many times in the church, just the people in the church, he would quietly slip some money to help somebody out. So he was a very quiet angel. He was, and he'll be missed.
It's a sad day for us. But it's a happy day for him. So today we stop and we celebrate Dick's life. Dick was a dad, husband, grandfather, great-grandfather, brother, and a friend of many people. Probably maybe more than we could ever imagine. But I am not sure if I have ever met a more humble man than Dick Massey. And Nancy touched on it. He had a love of many things, and I thought if cats could talk, they could tell us some stories. I remember sitting down with him talking about Lori, and here comes a cat. Stripe. Rubbing up against me, and anybody that knows me knows my appreciation for cats. He rubbed right up, and you know, and he was fine, and I looked around, and there's one in the windowsill. I got the look, and there's one in the back of his chair. There's another one on the other recliner. I said, how many cats you got? And he said, there's more walking around here somewhere. And he loved his cats. He loved his family. It's one thing to love an animal. Maybe it's harder to love an animal sometimes than it is to love your family. And sometimes families can be challenging, and sometimes we don't necessarily question our love, but we question our tolerance. But I never got that from Dick, and he'd tell me stories about fishing and going fishing and his trips up north. And Michael and Mark, when I was talking to them this week, sharing some stories about that, but they were real excited, I think, to go to Canada when they got the station wagon with the seat that faced the back. You can't buy that stuff anymore. Nobody ever went through the front window in a station wagon sitting in the back seat facing the back. But you can't do that anymore. He told me one day after, and when we were in here chatting before, after church, he said, "I know where you live." I thought, well, is that good or bad? And he said, "Well, I play cards with a bunch of guys down where those poplar trees are." And I said, "You a gambler?" He said, "Well, it's pretty high stakes. It's nickel, dime, quarter." He said, "That's what I can afford." He said it was affordable for me. And we know he loved fishing, and he had told me about that when I met with him and Lori, and I shared the story that the first time I met him, he told me he was going to Canada. And I thought, well, what have I done? And he said, "No, I'm going fishing." He said, "We go fishing every year," and he enjoyed that. He said, and I said, "Well, how long have you been going?" He said, "Oh, 50, I think the term he said was was 52 years, except the year that he lost Chickie, and he didn't go that year, but he was planning on going this year." So he wasn't living his life knowing that it was coming to an end. He was living his life to enjoy it, to look forward to things. And he told me, and one of the things that really troubled him in the loss of Lori was the fact that her friends in Canada, where they fished, wouldn't see her anymore. Unfortunately, his friends aren't going to see him anymore. And that's going to be a loss for them. It's been mentioned that he loved cooking and he loved baking. And Cindy had mentioned the pineapple upside down cake that he made that would melt in your mouth, even the pineapple. But Dick's heart was doing stuff for other people. And the Sunday of our church picnic, he said, "Are we going to have a fellowship time?" And I said, "No, we're not going to do it today because of the picnic." And he said, "Well, that girl," and he was referring to Gabrielle Truman, he said, "she likes my pineapple upside down cake." And he said, "I'm going to bake her one for her birthday." And that was the heart of a man who cared more for other people than he did him, than he did himself. Cindy mentioned the peanut brittle. And he asked me one day if I liked it. Now, I've got to admit I do. And I did. And every time that he would bring peanut brittle, I would always find extra on my desk. And he would always ask me, "Did you give Cindy any of that brittle?" And I would tell him that she would eat most of it. And I'm sure he did the same thing to her when he gave her stuff. "Did you give Larry any of it?" And she probably told him, "No, you need to bring him some more." And I'm sure he would have. Mentioned earlier that he was a humble man. And as Nancy said, he would give her money to buy people food for Thanksgiving, for Christmas. It was no small amount. He'd always say, "I'm not rich." but I want to help people out. But he also gave me money to give to people. And he said, they do so much for this church. Just give this to them. But he said, don't tell them who gave it to you. And to this day, I never told that story. But that's the kind of man that Dick was. I didn't realize, but he was responsible when I was talking to Mark and Michael about several patents that he had been part of having patented. And that's why they said, just Google it. So I Googled it, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't think I could read what he patented. Hermetically sealed laser actuator detonator and method of manufacturing the same. Can anybody in here tell me what that means? Method of making an integral window hermetic fiber optic component. Method for forming glass to metal seals, and a method and apparatus for performing in situ vacuum assisted metal to glass sealing. Dick told me all he ever did was work in the aerospace industry and worked on bonding ceramic to metal. He never told me this stuff. He probably figured I wouldn't understand it, and he was right. But he never promoted what he knew or what he was. I just assumed he worked in the aerospace industry. One last story, and I could go on and on and on. Two last stories. I'll do the next to last one. I never saw Dick sad. Other than about the last 3 weeks of his life. And I remember that Sunday morning he came in. I could tell something troubled him. And I asked him, I said, what's wrong? And he had found out, Lori had cancer. They had done surgery, and he was telling me it's going to be about 5 days, and they would be able to tell whether she could take a pill for medication for chemotherapy. And he was a troubled man. So would you pray for him? Sure. We will. And then he left him back to the hospital. And then talking to Mark and Michael Monday morning, and they were telling me, and I thought, this is typical Dick Massey, that they had gotten their first color TV in the house. And the black and white that was in the living room didn't go into the master bedroom, but it went to their room. Not that he wanted it for himself. He wanted it for someone else. However, they did tell me he kept the rabbit ears, and they got the coat hanger, and it worked. There's nothing about Dick Massey that could say, look at me. Not a thing. Nothing that I ever saw in what time that I knew him would say that. He was one humble man. As I read earlier, John said in verse 2, he said, there's more than enough room in my Father's house. for you. He said, if it wasn't true, I'd have told you. How many people would tell you something that's not true? Jesus wasn't one of them. And as intense as our pain is, and as intense as our loss is, it would be far greater if there was no hope for tomorrow and nothing to look forward to. Jesus' words, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be concerned, don't worry, don't care. Just leave it in my hands. He was talking to his disciples in this passage, and they were concerned, and he was trying to calm them down about what was about to happen and the fact that he was going to be leaving this earth. And as he told them, don't be excited. Don't worry. Don't concern yourself with it. Don't calm. Don't let your heart be troubled. He saw his disciples growing weary. And many people feel the same way today. We feel weary, we feel tired, we feel worn out. But he gave us a promise, and he promises something. And he kept talking about to those disciples, I'm going away. And they kept trying to figure it out, trying to figure out what he meant. Where was he going? When was he leaving? Why was he going? In their hearts, and in the hearts of all of us, including Christians, and maybe more so with a Christian than someone who just really doesn't care about life, we think about what we face after death. To some people, they think, I'm just going to be buried and life ends. To some, they have no idea. They think we're just put here to exist. When our existence is over, we die and that's it. Jesus kept saying, don't worry about it. I've got it all under control. And he told them not to worry, but then he went along and told them why not to worry. He said, don't be troubled. That ought to be a rallying cry for the world today. Fear can dictate what goes on in our lives, and we can be afraid if we allow our minds to control what our thoughts about tomorrow and about fear and about death. And we can worry and we can get excited. But Jesus said, don't worry about it. It's almost like I've got your back. Don't be concerned. Death shouldn't be our ultimate fear. Death for the believer translates us to heaven. And there's no doubt in my mind that what Paul wrote, he said, absent from the body is present with the Lord. There is no doubt in my mind that Dick's spirit is with the Lord. And that spirit is awaiting his resurrected body to spend life, to spend eternal life in heaven. Any time that we plan a trip, we are always concerned about, do we have everything that we need? Is everything taken care of? And I'm certain that Dick and Chickie, as they prepared for those fishing trips, thought about the same thing. Have we packed everything? Is there anything that we missed that we might need? Are the children in the car? Do we have them all? Will the cabin be ready? What about the boat? Will it be ready? But Jesus made it clear that the preparations that he had made, nothing was left undone. Everything is prepared. And we know that because of what he said. If it were not so, I would have told you. God has it planned and God has it prepared, and the preparations are not left to chance. When we face death, we do not face it alone. Death does not take us by the hand as a believer. Jesus takes us by the hand and walks us to eternal glory. And how do we know that? We know that because he conquered death. And there's proof of his ascension. The disciples standing there with him and saw that. He said, "Where I am, there you may be also." We can rest assured that the Spirit is with Jesus and that he will live forever. So we need to go forward with that same faith, that same hope, that same goal, that same faith that he exhibited, that Jesus exhibited, the same faith that Dick exhibited. Not too many months ago, maybe 6-7 months ago, he said, "Can you tell me a good Bible that's easy to read?" And I said, "I can do one better than that. I can give you one." And he told me when we were talking that Lori probably knew more about the Bible than he did. And I'm sure he was well-versed in much of it. And so as we think about Dick in his absence, I saw the words to this song and I thought it's just perfect to share. It's a song by Chris Tomlin, entitled, "Whom Shall I Fear?" You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet, and that enemy is death. You are my sword and my shield. Though troubles linger, still whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. He who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side." A truly humble man is residing with his Savior.
We would have loved to have done that song, but Pastor just surprised me with it. We've got the family had asked for some more upbeat music, and of course I very much agree with what's happened here over the past 3-4 weeks. This is a tribute. Oh, I'm sorry.
My name's Brian. I'm one of his grandchildren. Dick, my grandpa, was a very strong, driven, determined man. through the years I've known him, he's, I guess I'll just keep talking on this. I don't know if it, through the years I've known him, he's structured me and driven me to not only cook, I cook a lot, but help me with that, but motivate me and drive me to become the man I am today. There's stories when I was younger, we're talking about patents and things like that. I was a wild child. I was pretty nuts. And him, back when my grandma and him were alive, they took care of us. And I remember eating SpaghettiOs with SpaghettiOs, and that was a daily thing. SpaghettiOs and grilled cheese and things like that. But that calmed us down. I had eating times with little pamphlets and things. But I would sit on his lap, and I always wondered. He had an old boat, like boats and things like that. He would build these boats inside the vials and things. But I would ask him more about it, and he built it from, explained to me how they built it part by part as we're going along. I said, how did they get the boat in here? Well, through the years, that structure and that foundation to be so intricate to detail on things like that allows me to, with my profession and things that I'm doing, to always do it right. That's what I was always told. Always do it right. Always finish what you do. Don't leave anything behind. That's why I'm kind of up here. I don't want to leave that in my head. But in the last years, I was graced when I was younger to go with my grandparents to Canada. But I've been busy with my life and things like that. This last year, I was able to go actually with Lori, with my grandpa, and meet family and understand the perspective of from my childhood to now as an adult, to see everything and understand how he loved things like that. Was a good experience to fish with him and see him. On Christmas, I would rather not see him when I saw him 2 days later. I'd rather see him in the memory of Christmas. We were talking about fishing and things like that. But my point of all this is that from what the stories you guys have heard, from how wild I was to now, for him to structure me and beat my butt like that, I'm really blessed and graced to have him as my grandpa. I'll just leave it at that. Thanks.
Well, we know Dick liked fishing. So enjoy this song.
I might have gone fishing, got to thinking it over. The road to the river is a mighty long way. It must be the season, no rhyme, no reason, taking it easy. It's my lazy day, and I never mind calling, 'cause I ain't a comin'. Just get you on by me, stay out of my way. A little deep thinking might drive me to drinking. Hey, I'm taking it easy. It's my lazy day. Gone fishing, could thinking it over. The road to the river is a mighty long way. It must be the season, no rhyme, no reason. I'm taking it easy, it's my lazy day. I'm taking it easy, it's my lazy day.
Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now, closing this celebration, thankful for Dick, for the memories, for the life, for the guidance that was just shared by Brian. Thankful, Father, for a gentle spirit, one that loved you and could only find gentleness through you. Father, as we go through these next days, we pray that you abide with us. We pray, Father, that you walk along with us with your arm around us and give us all comfort. Give us comfort knowing that your Son is home, at peace, in health, waiting for his family and his friends. So, Father, we just thank you and we rejoice in knowing Dick, knowing what he means to us, and thankful, Father, that we were able to cross paths with a truly great man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have one more song. The family would like to invite you to stay for lunch if you could. We would love for you to do that. We have plenty for everyone. And we would ask that you allow the family to go first. But please be encouraged. We would love to have you stay.
Oh, they tell me of an unclouded sky. behold, where he sits on a throne that is whiter than snow, in a city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of cloudless day, oh, the land of unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. On his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows away, and they tell me that no tears will ever come again in that lovely land of uncloudy day. Oh, the land of boundless day, oh, the land of unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me home where no storm clouds rise.